We're going to jump back in on Corinthians again this week. This pollen's been fun, hasn't it? That's it. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Last week we looked at 12. And the order of the scriptures, chapters here, is very critical. Again, we say that every week, but the order here is very critical. And 12 was on spiritual gifts. And then when you leave the spiritual gifts, you go to the body. He goes to talking about in the same chapter, the body, looking at the body of Christ. And when he starts off talking about spiritual gifts, but he goes to show the lesser gifts and the lesser parts of the body. And we emphasized last week, the most important parts of our body are never seen. Never seen. The handsome parts have no need. I know we pay more attention in the church to the handsome parts. And that's what he's telling them in Corinthians here. That's the same we do our body. I mean, our hair, we comb it, but we can do without it. You see what I'm saying? He says right here, it says, nay, much more in verse 22, nay, much more these members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. More feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. When you've got problems with something, vital organ or something in your body, or with your, you realize quickly its importance, don't you? Same way he used, I think that's a tremendous illustration. And here in chapter 13, he follows up and he's going to talk about the gifts again. But he's going to talk about the most important thing, and that's charity. And we define charity as love, but it goes way beyond that. Charity is the kind of love that Stephen showed. When they lay not this sin to their charge, that Jesus said the same thing. They know not what they do. That's charity. That's love. That's not retaliation. Now, as I looked at this week again, the importance of where this chapter is placed. You've come all the way through, I'm going to drop back to lesson one, and I'm just read these things that we spoke about in lesson one, because it leads up to this chapter 13. In chapter one, they had perverted the doctrine of baptism. In chapter two, they were bragging about human wisdom. In chapter three, they were carnal. In chapter three, verse 18, they deceived themselves. In chapter 3:17, they defiled their bodies. In chapter 4:18, they were puffed up. They were pouty. All right? Yeah. They were Baptist. In 5:1, immorality. In 6:1, suing each other in a court of law. In chapter 7, confused about marriage. In chapter 8, verse 9, Christian liberty. Chapter 11, dress in the house of God. In chapter 11, also the Lord's Supper. In chapter 14, gifts of the Spirit. 15, the resurrection. 16, offerings. Now, I'm going to drop back and I want to read. I'm going to do this setting here just to get us where we're at in chapter 13. And one thing I want us to pay particular attention to is something I said last week. They had the gifts. right? Is any doubt? Shake your head. Agree with me or not? They had the gifts, right? But look at all the problems that come with them. This was not based on character. These gifts were signs, and they were for power, for the gospel to go forward. That's what they were for. And they were misusing these gifts. Let's just verse 1. Grace, chapter 3, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given to you by Jesus Christ, that in everything ye are enriched by him in all utterance and in knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you. These are saved people. They saved people with gifts. Now, when we get to 13, this will help us to see, to lay a foundation for chapter 13. And starting off in chapter 2, and I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. They were boasting about their knowledge. Knowledge. All right, chapter 3. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able. For ye are yet carnal, for where there is among you envyings and strife, and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? The spiritual growth is dependent upon what here? The Word of God. Being fed. That's critical to chapter 13 as we go there. Chapter 4. Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. But with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you. Judging God's men. Placing God's men where they didn't need to be placed. All they were stewards of the mysteries of God. And Paul said that. God said it through them. Paul said that here that they were stewards of the mysteries of God. And moreover, it is required as stewards that a man be found faithful. So you can see what they were placing upon men, putting the emphasis on men and not on God. All right? 5. It is reported commonly there is fornication among you, and such fornication is not so much as named among the Gentiles that one should have his father's wife. Now, didn't we just read that the testimony of Christ was confirmed in them? Now, look at all these problems. But the gifts were there. Why would anybody be seeking these gifts? Go on. Chapter 6. Dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unjust and not before the saints? Do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matters? They couldn't work their problems out among themselves. They was going to court. Now, verse 7, now therefore there is utterly a fault among you, because you go to law one with another. Why do you not rather take wrong? Why do you not rather suffer yourselves to be defrauded? Now, when we come through this, and we went through this chapter and went to court, we do realize there's some things you're not going to get settled without getting it settled in court in this day and time. A lot of things is just not going to be settled. But that's not, I don't believe, the issues he's talking about here. There's a lot of things they could have just worked out together. All right? So when we see it, charity suffereth long and is kind, keep that in mind. He said that, suffer yourselves to be defrauded. Chapter 7, now concerning the things whereof we wrote You wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman, nevertheless to avoid fornication. Let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. See how he's leading? It's amazing, isn't it? Putting these chapters together the way they go, then watch what it's going to lead into. Chapter 8. Now, as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Now, you may argue with that. He said, we all have knowledge. He said in chapter 1, the testimony of Jesus Christ was confirmed in you. They all had knowledge of the things. But there's one important thing we're going to get to chapter 13, we're going to see. Something that kept them from being complete, all right? Now, as touching things offered to idols, that was in verse chapter 8. And in chapter 9, am I not apostle? Am I not free? Have not seen Jesus Christ our Lord, are not ye my work in the Lord? If I be not an apostle unto others, yea, doubtless I am to you. For the seal of mine apostleship are ye in the Lord. My answer to them that do examine me is this. Examining God's man, placing more emphasis, saying he was not an apostle. Choosing men again, which they were doing in chapter 2 and chapter 3. Now look at verse chapter 10. Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. They were ignorant of what the warnings in the Bible about the things that destroyed Israel in the wilderness. They were ignorant of those things that led to Israel's downfall. But the testimony of Jesus Christ was confirmed among them, and they had gifts. All right, chapter 11. Be ye followers of me, even as also I am of Christ. Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the ordinances as I delivered them to you. They were following some people they did not need to be following. And Paul's saying, you follow me in the ordinances? Somebody had them confused on the Lord's Supper, didn't he? Somebody had them confused about all these things. Paul said, you follow me as I follow Christ. And he establishes in chapter 11 the order of the church and the home. God, the man, and the woman. That's the order. And he establishes that in chapter 11. Then in chapter 12, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles, so in chapter 10, you got the Jews that's ignorant. And then he didn't just stop with them. He goes to chapter 12, and the Gentiles that are in the church were ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man, somebody must have been doing it, all right? Or he wouldn't even mention it. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. As we get to chapter 14, we'll see that's why Paul told him you should speak with clarity in the church, right? A man, you don't know what that man's saying. He could be cursing God, right? Somebody was doing it. All right, now look at chapter 13. That's a lot of scriptures, a lot of babbling, I guess you might not babbling, but a lot of talk to get to this point. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I'm become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. He said, you're just a bell ringing. If you're not doing it with love for your fellow man, respect for your fellow man, your fellow Christian, and what you do and the gifts that you have, if those gifts are not for the edification, chapter 12, of the church, then you're a tinkling cymbal. All you are is just a racket. That's what he's saying. He said, if you're not doing it to honor the church, to honor the brethren, for love, then it's just a tinkling cymbal. Now, charity goes, I don't know how you define charity. You define it as love. That's what you're going to define it at. But that's a love that goes beyond imagine. So most of the love that we know and love for thing can change just like that. Well, I don't love her no more. I don't love him no more. But the love that is like this. For scarcely for a righteous man would one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I mean, those who sinned against him, he could love. That's charity. Charity is not giving. Charity is giving if you give in yourself. That's love. That's a love that goes very deep. And though I have the gift of prophecy. Now, as I said back in some of the early ones, you had prophecy and you had knowledge and understanding. I see these gifts going to that. If you had tongues, you had the gift of an interpreter. If you had prophecy, you had a gift of knowledge. And if you had revelation, a man that's given revelation was given a knowledge of the Scriptures. But knowledge went with them. Someone had knowledge if someone had prophecy. All right? And we'll move right on into this. And though I bestow all my goods, let me read two again. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries, Paul speaks of the mysteries. We've seen them. We've studied them. And all knowledge. And though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. As I read this, I wondered, how can a man have these things and not have charity? But it was happening. Because gifts were given as signs to the Jews. The Jews require a sign. And the Greeks seek after wisdom. All right? The Jew required a sign. God gave these signs. They spoke in tongues. They spoke in languages. And every man heard them in Acts 2, speak in his own language. And it amazed them. These were gifts given. But these gifts did not, it appears to me, they did not relate to the character of that person. Did they? Because they were misusing these gifts. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Though I give my body to be burned, that was an influential thing in those days. I mean, look at him. His smoke's going up. I mean, he's giving his body to be burned. He's somebody. He's something. Is he to profit him nothing? The love that he's shown for his fellow man is what profits. It is, of, as he said in chapter 3, of what sort it is. The works, what sort is it? Why do you do what you do? That's the key. The key to the whole thing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. It's a tinkling cymbal and a sounding brass. If it's not done in love. Charity suffereth long. Remember when they said, remember that? These first five verses here, 6, 7, these first seven verses are covered in the problems they faced in this church. He's covering them all right here, isn't he? Every one of them. Watch it. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. As I've said many times in this class, how long can you suffer and still be kind? Oh, I don't know. Very long. I can't even sit at the red light most of the time without blowing a horn. Serious, think about it. My patience gets thin. Beep, beep, go on. Get your mind on what you're doing. How long can you suffer and still be kind? Charity suffers a long time. And is kind. Charity envieth not. They were full of envy and strife, right? Charity vaunteth not itself. In the Lord's Supper, they were bringing their own food and showing how God's blessed them. Look at me. I got lamb chops. I got all this stuff here I'm eating, and the Lord has blessed me heavenly with this stuff. And there sits another man who has nothing to eat, hardly. That's what this chapter's about. It's about the first 12 chapters. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. Is not puffed up. If he rebuked them, as we'll look at in 2 Timothy, if he rebuked them, they got puffed up about it. The Word of God will rebuke us. Doth not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. He don't choose somebody out to who just identify. Like I've said many times in this class, a lot of times people will choose a church to support their lifestyle, right? Or to build a foundation under what they already believe. Instead of looking at the biblical principles, is it founded on a biblical principle? They want to build a lifestyle. They want it to support their lifestyle. Doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Now we get into the meat of this. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. Now, I have looked at these things hard in great respect of several different writers. And I say that honestly. And I think with most of these different writers, we all have the right idea, but not the total concept. I honestly believe that. I believe that they have the right ideas, but not the total concept of the whole thing. There's a growth pattern here, right? People are not growing in the Lord. And I don't mind to use the names because these are great men of God. I read a book, and it's a great book. I've read several books of James Knox. He's got a good book on most of it coming out of Corinthians, on tongues and all of these things. If you've read that, and he uses this scripture here and shows that what he thinks they're talking about, which is a very good point, that which is perfect is the perfect Christian life, the mature, complete Christian life, because that's what he's talking about. Well, that point bears witness with all of this coming through chapter 12, that they were not complete. But my question on that is, how do you get complete without the Word of God? How could there be a complete Christian without God's Word? Okay? And I'm not picking argument. This was beautiful. I had never looked at that this way. What he brought out on that just put my mind flowing. And then you've got three thoughts here. Going on to spiritual maturity. Okay? That's one of them. That's what he's talking about there. Sure, he's talking about that. But if I read that, And then another one is the complete Bible, the complete scriptures. That's point number two. The complete scriptures were not complete yet. So they're saying we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away. You see what I'm saying there? All right? And what some will say there is that support this other is, if that's the scriptures, then why would you be doing away with some scriptures? No, that's not what it's saying. It's saying that we prophesy in part. They're doing things in part. These things were assigned to the Jews. These gifts were for power, not character. They were for power in the church to show that God was moving that church along. Now, the third point here, so we got the first point, spiritual maturity, going on to spiritual maturity. And we'll read some scriptures in a minute or next week that show that to be very strong opinion and very, very correct. Okay? But the third one is that which is perfect is Jesus. Right? And when He comes, then all these things will go away. Well, I don't think that holds water. I think it is part of it. I think the whole three, the people that want these foundations and take these foundations and they stand on them on chapter 13, I think are good foundations. But I think in chapter 13, Paul is telling these people that when the scriptures are complete, that which is in part will be done away. I really believe that. Sure, we're going to go on to completion. And not laying... Let's turn to Hebrews. Man, I've done lost track of my notes. I don't even need any. All right, Hebrews chapter 6. I think it's one of the good things to explain that. These people are being... let me get my notes here in front of me. All right, Hebrews chapter 6. Therefore, leaving... Okay? Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ. Now, why would you tell anybody to leave the doctrines of Christ? Because of what they were looking for in Christ. Right? The Messiah, the kingdom of heaven. But look at what it says. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto what? Perfection. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. Somebody is being brought to a knowledge of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And he said, don't let us go on unto perfection. Let us go on to completion. And watch. And this will we do if God permit. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost, and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they're crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh, and put into an open shame. I think Catholics should remember that every time they take communion. All right? In Hebrews chapter 6, we have these points. The Hebrews were to leave something. Is that not correct? The Hebrews were to leave something. The principles of the doctrine of Christ. They were to go on. So not laying again. So something was laid, right? Something, a foundation was laid. But we're not to lay it again. We're to go on. He laid it, but he won't lay it again. He will go on. If God permits, if he don't go on, something becomes impossible. Is that clear? Does that make it? It's clear to me. I don't know if I'm saying it good enough to clear. But if he don't go on, something becomes impossible. To renew that man to repentance again, once he's heard of the death, burial, and resurrection, he's no longer bringing that sacrifice. It's no good no more. He needs to go on to perfection, to completion, not laying again. So it's already been laid one time, but don't lay it again. All right? Let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Hebrews 6 is good for that. Let me see what I wrote. I've got some notes here that I want to make sure that I read. All right, let's verse 8. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. Now, knowledge as we have it is not going to vanish away, and it hadn't vanished away yet. But the knowledge that went with prophecy, One would speak in tongues, one would interpret, one would have revelation, one would have knowledge. God would reveal something to a man in the Bible, but somebody could explain it. God did not do anything without clarity, not even with the gifts. And when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away. These childhood gifts are going to go away. Now, if prophecy is that you're speaking about here, some men will say that this prophecy is preaching, and preaching will never go away. I think it's just like the prophets spoke of what was going to happen. But brother, when this book got closed in Revelation chapter 22, you're not to add to it or take away from it. If you do, I got to warn Joseph Smith, his is going to fail. Charles Taz Russell, his prophecy is going to fail. Amen? Why? Because they come along in the 1800s and come up with another religion. Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormons, their prophecies fail. Why? This book is complete. Yes, he is speaking of going on to maturity, the complete Christian life. But how are you going to go on to maturity without the Word? How could those people in Hebrews 6 leave the principles of the doctrine of Christ without hearing the Word of God? Without hearing, why is he going to go into chapter 15? Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, wherein you stand, which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I have preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. A man stands and hears that. He can't lay again the foundation of repentance from dead works. It's not going to do him any good anymore. So, I think all the points are right, but I think they're not put together. I think it's the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him that were made. And there's nothing made that was not made by him. He preferred his word above his name. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory. A man's not going to go on to spiritual maturity without the word of God. What's he going to be? 1 Corinthians chapter 3. He's going to be a babe. What's he going to be? Hebrews chapter 5. Unskilled. He's going to be out there with a sword that he don't know which end to handle. Don't even know which one to hold. Hebrews 4, I was looking at this week, Hebrews 4:12, Hebrews 5:12. Even the verses. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Discerning. It's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The Word of God is that. It's a discerner of a man. If you take this Bible for what it is, the power of God and the wisdom of God and the Word of God and the Holy Spirit of God, and let it work in you, and you read it, as James says, we'll finish this next week, as one who beholdeth his face in a glass. The beauty of this is tremendous. It's tremendous. But I'm going to read these, we'll talk about a little, and we'll hit them more next week. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. Why? Do we know in part because we're not a complete Christian? A lot of people know and they're not a complete Christian. Right? You got to help me, guys. A lot of people know and are not complete. But he's saying right now, we're prophesying in part, brother. God's going to close this thing, and when he does, they already closed the books of Acts. They've already closed at this point those sacrifices. Right? That closed them. And he's saying those things are going to close. And he's saying we're doing these things in part. But when that which is perfect is come, and there's nothing more perfect or complete than the Word of God. There's just nothing about it. You can't be a complete Christian without a complete book. How can you be a Mormon and carry their Bible, or be a Jehovah's Witness and carry the New World Edition, and be a complete Christian? You've got to have the Word of God. When that which is perfect is come, that which is complete is come, let us go on to completion, it says in chapter 6. All right? When I was a child, I spake as a child. Those are childish things they had. Those gifts were childish things. He's telling them about charity. He said, you can have all these things and be a tinkling cymbal and sounding brass. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now, that's right now, he said to them, for now we see through a glass darkly. And we just talked about Hebrews 4:12 and Hebrews 5:12. The Word of God is quick. What's that mean? It's alive. It's powerful. What's that mean? Dynamite. The Word of God is quick. The Word of God is powerful. And the Word of God is a discerner of the thought. And it says in the next verse, and people like to separate these two verses because they don't like to give this book life. This is the living Word of God. They don't like to give it life. So in Hebrews 4:12, then in the next verse it says, for there is no creature that's not manifest in his sight. Amen. So what's that do? That took the Word of God and made it the power of God and the wisdom of God and God working. So that's what we have in chapter 13. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I am known. If we go back to the Old Testament and go into Exodus, we've studied that here, and look at the laver that stayed in front of the holy place. And it was made out of what? The looking glasses of the women that sat close to the tabernacle door. What's that laver a representation of? It's a representation of the Word of God. When that priest went up to that laver and he washed his self, he went there one time in humility. His first time he went there, he went in humility, and he was washed before all Israel, wasn't he? Was that not right? He was washed all over. But once he had been washed, he didn't have any need to be totally washed again. He just washed his hands and feet. His feet where he had trodden this world and his hands for service. But as he looked into that laver and looked into those mirrors, he saw himself. And that's what you do when you have the Word of God. You look into the Word of God, you see yourself. There's no creature that can do it and not come up dirty. Amen? There's no, he said, Hebrews 4:12, and there's no creature that's not manifest in his sight. When you look into, James called it the perfect law of liberty. As one who beholdeth, we'll look into scripture next week, as one who beholdeth his face in the glass and go about his way, he's looked into that perfect law of liberty, that complete book, that perfect law, and he's looked into it, and then he goes about his own way. That's a danger, isn't it? So, for now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part. I think Paul was a complete Christian, don't you? He said, I've not reached it yet. He said, I strive for the mark. Okay? He's going on into it, but he's striving for it. And he says, for now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now what did Hebrews 4:12 say? What did James say? As one who beholdeth his face in the glass. And Hebrews 5:12 says a baby is not a babe in Christ, and one who doesn't is not skillful in the use of the Word of God. All right? For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. Now, a lot of people say that has to be Jesus there because of he said that they would know even as we are known. And we know that when we see him, we'll be like him. He's going to change this vile body. That's true. That's a very true statement. But when this book is complete, what did Jesus tell the disciples in John chapter 16? When he said, now you can't understand these things. He said, but when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you in all truth. Amen? He will guide you in all truth. And what did he say in 17? Sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth. I think, folks, and I didn't cover this well. I'm going to cover it again next week. I think we're all right. I think they're all right. You say, well, everybody can't be right. Well, they took a portion of the apple and just they quartered it. They're right, but they didn't eat the whole apple. They had apple. And they had truth. But Jesus, the Word of God, and the Christian maturity is the complete truth. That's the complete apple going on to maturity. And how are you going to go on to maturity without the Word of God? How can there be a complete church without a complete book? Impossible. Lord, thank you for this day you've given us. And God, thank you for your word. Pray that you bless in the next hour. In Jesus' name we pray.